All right. Once again, for the record.
Luke, I am your father.
Okay. I'm Johnny X, and I'm playing devil's advocate on this panel because the hardcore pirates obviously didn't want to show up for various legal reasons, and I believe threats have been made, and some of them seem to be kind of nasty people. But there are some issues that should be addressed, and I'm going to be playing their side of the field a little bit. But for the record, I firmly believe that creators and publishers should be paid for the work that they do. Keep that in mind. Don't lynch me because I do not advocate theft at all. Hopefully we'll come up with maybe a few solutions here, but probably we won't solve all the world's problems, because if I could do that, I'd be a very rich person, and I would probably be on a beach someplace right now.
In an hour, we'll solve all the world's problems. Okay. Oh, we're
are we supposed to introduce ourselves now?
We're introducing ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Am I next? All right. Is this on? Yeah. Hi. I'm Ann Crispin. I have been monitoring the Alt Binaries ebook group for a while. Until last night, coordinating SFWA's efforts to track and deal with this problem was my responsibility. As of last night, since today is July 1st, I am no longer SFWA vice president. It is now Terry McGarry's responsibility, but since I've been doing it up till now,
Terry,
I will still be on the panel as though I was actually responsible.
I'm sure that'll make Terry really happy. My name is Ginger Buchanan. I'm senior executive editor at Ace Books, which is the science fiction and fantasy imprint of the Berkeley Publishing Group. Authors that we publish that are here, for instance, include Catherine Kurtz and Laurel Hamilton. Authors that we publish that were pirated include Frank Herbert. and let's see, who else?
Catherine Kurtz.
But those were Kuyo's books. Some Heinlein, some out of genre. Patricia Cornwell, I've heard that she's been pirated. And we did up until recently distribute the Harry Potter books, and of course they've all been pirated too.
I'm Kuyo Lang. I'm actually a substitute. I believe the program has Shelley Shapiro. Editor Director Del Rey. She couldn't be here. I am the associate publisher and director of new media at Ballantine Books. One of the companies we also run is Del Rey Books, which is also a publisher of science fiction and fantasy. I guess along with Ginger, we sort of represent the New York publishers and our view and what we're doing in this area. So off we go.
All right. Let me kind of give you a framework here. How many people out there are familiar with Usenet? All right, well, cool. I don't have to do a whole lot of explaining.
You're at the right panel.
There was a group created not too long ago. I didn't have a chance to pull records and see what the exact creation date was on. I think it's about 9, possibly 10 months ago from this date, alt.binaries.e-book. And I've been subscribed to that group for a while and kind of monitoring the goings-on. And most of the traffic originally when I've discovered, quote-unquote, the group about 6 months ago seemed to be computer manuals and flat text sci-fi and fantasy books, a lot of them out of print. As the group began to propagate more and more to some of the top-level Usenet, some of the top-level ISPs who specialize in Usenet access, traffic increased on the group, rather, and we began seeing books appear online that were still in print, authors still alive, people supposed to still be getting royalties on them, and then the authors discovered the group, and they sicked their lawyers on, or tried to sick their lawyers on a lot of the pirates who were posting this stuff, and things got really nasty and heated, and a lot of the binaries traffic has actually disappeared from the group. There's some of it still there. But there's an awful lot of talk and discussion going on there. Some of it, the typical Usenet flaming and noise and garbage, which I try to filter out. But there's also been some pretty intelligent discussion going on there in how to possibly, I don't know, fix things, ensure that the readers can get the information, the books that they want access to quickly, and make sure that the publishers and the creators also get paid for their work. A bunch of different models and things have been tossed around. A lot of the traffic now seems to have moved off Usenet and onto IRC, semi-public, semi-private FTP sites, and
Nutella.
Yeah, Nutella is another tool that people have been using. I've got a handout over there on the table underneath the little yellow sign that says e-text, take one. And I've got the news groups listed on there. And
thank you very much. This will be very useful.
Yeah, go for it. I've got an IRC log there, too, for Pound Bookwares. And actually, I recognize some of the IP addresses there as being at-home cable modems, and we can probably have a little demo here, and I can track down some of this stuff and tell you where some of these people are located. And if you're busy and effective, you might be able to shut down a couple of these sites before the end of the con.
We have shut down a number of sites at this point, but we will continue to work. Did publishers want to talk first or writers? I'm representing the writers, I guess.
Our corporate response, we're Penguin Putnam, which is a pretty big company. And the magical word that triggered your corporate response was Tom Clancy, because that he's also apparently been pirated. I didn't mention Bill Gibson, Neuromancer, but it almost goes without saying. So our corporate response was to write a very strong legal letter to Remark, which was the server who was at the point that we were made aware of this, still carrying Alt Binary's ebook. So there was a feeling from the very top of the company that we had to make some response. I honestly don't know what the reaction to that response is. I'm mere editor. I was the bearer of the information and pointed the legal department in the right direction, and they copied me on the letter. But I don't know what the response is. I don't know if Remark is still carrying Alt Binary's ebook or not. From our publisher point of view, this is a matter of protecting it's a matter of copyright protection. I have said to Anne on the phone, and I believe this firmly, the amount of money that we as a company would lose off of all of this is minuscule. A number of people who are going to bother to do this with Tom Clancy's Sum of All Fears, which is like a 1,500-page novel, is minuscule. But there is a matter of the protecting of the copyright of the company and of the author, and that was why we took the position, not because, truthfully, that we see that there's anything that we're financially losing much of anything. And I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that the Stephen King riding the bullet proves absolutely nothing about publishing online, be it legal or illegal. It was a 66-page novella, and it was Stephen King. Somebody publishes Bag of Bones online, and it gets 450,000 downloads. Then maybe I'll be convinced that that's the way of the future. So that kind of encapsulates our feeling about it. It was not a matter of money, but it was more a matter of the law. And the legal department's job is to enforce the law as regards intellectual property law, copyright law, to read things that are in the course of publication and make sure that nothing is going to leave us open to suit. So they were doing their job and I think that job should be done, but I just want to make clear, as I did to Anne, it's not because of the money. It really isn't. It's because of the legal principle of the thing. Kuyu may feel differently in terms of the money. I don't know.
Go ahead. Yeah, let's do some Q&A.
I have a question. If it's not the money, then what is your stand on shouldn't works that when they pass out of copyright be automatically sent onto the web?
If a work passes out of copyright, it's not, to a certain extent, our problem.
You're sort of fighting against the argument. You're saying if it is in copyright and that you own it because of that, or that you're protecting
the author,
but you're protecting both the author's rights and your rights as publisher, then shouldn't you if a book does pass out of copyright, which admittedly is a long time now, that shouldn't your due diligence be to then make it available for research on the web as part of the public? That's what Project Gutenberg is doing, is taking old books.
Why would it be any publisher's job to make any? I mean,
you have the electronic formats of all the books that today. Any books that are in public domain
are published all the time. We have two imprints, one called Signet Classics and one called Penguin Classics, that frequently publish editions of exactly the same things that are in public domain. No publisher has any obligation to publish anything online.
My point is, don't you feel that you have a public...
No.
Okay, so you're saying
Tuyo may very well feel differently about that.
Because you're
arguing... No publisher has any obligation to publish anything in any format.
I understand that, but if you're taking the point that if you want to spread the information and make it widely available for people to be interested in buying the books from you as a public service.
Oh, publishers are engaged in doing public services?
What happens is, but it's at no cost to you because in essence the question is
publishing is a business. You have
the material in electronic
publishing
format.
Is a business.
I understand that, but what happens is you have the media, you have the anything that's been published in the past 20 years, you have in electronic format. And what happens is when that does pass out of copyright.
You know, you're talking about a scenario that's going to be, what's the law in this country?
70 years. It's actually the question.
70 years from now? I think this is an extremely spurious argument. Check it back in 70 years.
But you're not maintaining the sources in electronic format anyway. That's more the argument. If a book passes out of print and you are not interested in reprinting it, you don't even maintain that electronic.
You don't know that.
I work in the publishing business.
But you don't know that specifically, and I do think
it's... I do know that from the people...
It's a spurious argument. It's a business.
Excuse me. If the work passes out of print, it does not necessarily pass out of copyright. It doesn't mean the same thing at all.
But
it reverts to the author who still has copyright to it.
But the author is. But how often do they pass the electronic format back to the author, which I know rarely happens from the format that's there, and publishers don't routinely even request the electronic format back. I work for a typesetting firm. That's what we do. I know what publishers do, how they ask for it, and very rarely.
If an author requested such a thing back after a book went out of print, yes, we will get them for it. I have done that. By the same argument, we should never get rid of any book out of print, and we do. We remainder them. I don't get what you're saying. If an author wants those files back, we will get them for them. We have. But why is it our obligation to put them on the net?
Are you concerned with the content disappearing?
Well, what becoming is public domain.
The example of a lot of books, if they're printed on high acid paper, which a lot of lower printed books are, what happens is that the shelf life of the book is less than 20 years. The book itself will start to disintegrate because if you're printing on lower cost paper, it will disintegrate. That's the whole purpose of the low acid or the alkaline based paper. What happens is Project Gutenberg, which is trying to scan older books before they disintegrate, and they can't keep up with the current
funding. If Project Gutenberg wants to contact publishers about getting hold of film, then they ought to. It's not our obligation to put them on the line. It's a business.
I understand that, but the question
just to kind of diffuse things, we don't want fist fights here.
But
is your concern here kind of like the film industry in that the very earliest movies are disappearing and they're going to physically be gone before we have a chance
and
to preserve them in digital media?
If they're arguing about protecting their rights, they're not protecting they're not making provision to protect the thing. In essence, they're viewing it purely as they say, as a business, but they're not even looking at what the value of that over time is. They're looking at very short term.
But all right, just to play the publisher side around, they are a business. It's not their job to preserve the books. They're simply, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're entering into a partnership basically with the author where you do
so many. They essentially lease our books.
Now, I understand what you're saying. I agree the stuff needs to be preserved, and I'm going to address some of that stuff later with regards to the encrypted and some of the proprietary electronic formats that are being distributed now. But again, correct me if I'm wrong, from what you're saying, it's not your job to ensure that this stuff, is, you know, everything printed is available to all future generations. You're simply trying to protect the profits and...
You're trying to protect your copyright
and make sure that the author gets paid for their stuff. Yep. And we'll get to you in a second, James. I believe this gentleman had a question here.
Okay. Well, first, a comment. Business ethics is an oxymoron. The sole ethic of a business is to make as much money as possible
for its
shareholders and or owners. So, you know, look, a business cannot have a social responsibility. It makes money. That's what it's for. The owner can have a social responsibility, and they should.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. Maybe some businesses
now,
do. Publishing.
My question is, though, is there really a – does anybody see a moral difference between taking something that's out of print and making it available since no publisher is willing to sell it?
Something out of print and something out of copyright are two different things.
The thing that is out of print still belongs to the author.
The out-of-print thing still belongs to the author. You are stealing from the author. You are not stealing from the publishing company.
Can I throw a slight wrench into that? One of my favorite books that I read growing up, two of my favorite books, The Mad Scientist Club and The New Adventures of the Mad Scientist Club, which I think every young budding hacker and technophile should probably read. Unfortunately, the books themselves have been out of print for about 20 years, and I believe the author has been deceased for close to 30 years. His children have the rights to the books.
Or his estate.
His children have the rights to the books of the estate. They own the copyright. I believe Disney has an option to possibly do something TV or movie related with them, which is why these books haven't been in print for 20 years. These were some of the books. They didn't come across Alt-Binary's e-text, I'm aware, but there is a gentleman who did have OCR copies available on his website. He now has the cease and desist letter that he was sent to take the stuff off his website. And apparently this one might turn out all right because he's convinced the children of the author that there's enough interest in these books that they might do a special order limited edition type run, which means I can finally get copies of these books again and not have to pay $200 on eBay.
And why did he not go to the children of the author to begin with before putting them up on the web? Why didn't he do that?
If he knew where they were, he didn't, though, I believe.
Why didn't he do some research? The internet is supposed to be swell for that. Why just go ahead and do something that is illegal instead of trying to pursue a way of getting beloved things that are out of print back into print legally?
I'll send you the URL for the author's website, and you can ask him. But do you understand the conflict?
Can I ask
a
question?
I understand your rights, but yeah, can you understand the conflict between the people who want access to the material that's being intentionally kept unavailable?
Do you all understand that the pirate's point of view, which he's supposed to be doing the devil's advocate thing, do I need to explain this to anybody after having hung around in Alt-Binaries for 2 months now? The first month I was lurking, the second month I started posting. Does anybody not understand how the pirates feel and what they feel their rights are?
Information is free.
You would like to know. Okay. If it's okay, I will summarize it in a few words. Basically, as far as I can tell, the pirates who spend their time scanning in books like The Stand, and this is truly a labor of love for people who probably have no life, I'm sorry to say.
No, anybody who gets it in that
anybody who sits there
no
and scans in The Stand or It is, you know, got a lot of time on their hands. They believe that information, their rallying call is information should be free. Copyright is a bad thing. All information should be free. It should be shared on the internet, on the web, etc. And that publishers have lagged way behind in not joining the e-revolution, and that publishers should, if they want to save the author's books and their own thing, they should quickly make electronic versions of all books available. Otherwise, they themselves feel that it is completely ethical and moral to scan them in and place them on the internet, whether they are in copyright or not. And some pirates have very extreme views. I've actually had a couple of them tell me that I actually kind of got friendly with some of them by posting very innocuous questions. Has anybody seen, you know, alt binaries for themselves?
Yeah.
There's quite a vivid little argument going on. Some of them have actually said, you'd better watch it. The way the some pirates think, if you are hooked up to the web all the time and you have your books on your hard drive, some people would feel they were had a perfect right to go in, hack your hard drive, and take your books, and copy the books and then put them out. I think that's a very extreme view, but it's held by some people, which is information should be free. I should not have the right to my books, because just because I wrote them doesn't give me any right to them. So this is the most extreme view. The more moderate view is we will force publishers to make these things available by scanning them and putting up illegal versions, and that will make them put up versions that we can pay modest amounts for so we can have them.
But you know, some of these books...
And at least one writer has now successfully sued a pirate off of alt binaries, and that's Harlan Ellison, this guy named Shaker. Posted Harlan Ellison's short stories, and Harlan protects his copyrights extremely vigorously, and he recently got a settlement of $4,000 from poor Stephen Robertson of Red Bluff, California, who was, you know, stupid to do such a thing. That's like, you know, going to the reptile house and deciding you were going to play with a snake and picking the coral snake.
You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You know, it's a spurious argument, certainly on the about Tom Clancy. This will force publishers to put things on. Tom Clancy is available in electronic format. The company made a deal a couple years ago with Rocket Books, if you want to buy Tom Clancy in that format to plug into your Rocket Book or you know whatever, you can. They just don't want to pay for it. I mean, so it doesn't exactly wash. Will you want to tell us about how Ballantine is moving into electronic publishing?
Sure. I know people have questions, so I'll keep this brief in several parts. One is that the corporate view is not going to be different than any other publisher, certainly not from Ginger's publisher. You know, these copyrights have to be protected. For one thing, we don't own them. You know, the authors own the copyright. We have a business arrangement with the author to publish these books, in which sales, the profits are shared between us, the author, and the agent in between. Philosophically, I think there's some argument. That's a longer discussion about whether information will be free. Of course, I can argue that. I'm not sure necessarily fiction is information. But philosophical or not, it doesn't matter because it's not practical. It's very nice that the Medici, you know, in the late 17th century, 18th century in Florence, made all this great art public to the people for free. It's because they had a lot of money. They were the patron. They paid the artists. So these people can live and paint and sculpt, and people could see them. Sure, it's great. Tomorrow everything's free. I will love it. Every book is free. Every movie is free. Every music is free. But what are the writers, musicians, artists going to do? They're going to starve. So that philosophical question to me is not a problem because it's just not practical. In terms of what Ballantine do, electronic publishing, I firmly do believe every book should be available in as many formats as possible, whether it's Peanut Press, whether it's Rocket Book, whether it's, you know, whether it's the Microsoft Reader, whether it's Braille, whether it's audio, whether it's, you know, large print. This is a country. There's a lot of people in the world that access reading in very different ways. So as far as I'm concerned, there's many different ways to let them access the book, the better. But the people who make a living creating these things have to make a living. You know, we need to get paid. Authors need to get paid. The printer needs to get paid. The artist who did the cover needs to get paid. There has to be a generate income stream somehow. Maybe we'll come up with some new ways of generating income in the near future. I don't know what that is, but that may come.
Maybe we'll go back to the old patronage system, and you know, I will sit around and with my word processor and my little hat out in front of my laptop, and you know, when $50 gets tossed in there for that day, I'll write my quota. I don't know.
Bill Gates.
I'm going to try and take a different tack here. We've heard both what I consider extreme views very well represented and did a wonderful job of explaining the views of the extreme pirates, and Ginger's done a wonderful
job.
We
can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah, get closer.
Okay, Anne, you've done a wonderful job of explaining some of the extreme pirate views out there, and Ginger, you've done a wonderful job of expressing the thankless task of expressing an industry fighting for its life's point of view.
I don't agree with that either.
Nobody, I think, is going to argue that the law is certainly on the side of the publishers, but the reason I characterize those two sides as extremes, or one is the corporate, the corporate monoliths on one side and the anarchist pirates on the other, is that most of us are sitting somewhere in the middle. I don't want to see copyrights extended for 70-plus years. That came about because an industry that wanted complete control of material that it was distributing wanted to milk its market for all that it was worth. But likewise, I don't want to see artists, writers, musicians, and anybody else described, prevented from making an honest day's living out of their work. There is a middle ground. The problem is that all we're hearing are the two extremists on both sides. And I'm actually very glad that the pirates exist, because they're forcing the publishing industry to actually consider new models, new business streams. Because if you look at Usenet, Alt Binaries eBooks is a perfect case in point. It's distributed. It's not under one particular point of control. So the old weapons of the monolithic industry don't work. Who do you sue if it's replicated and distributed?
This guy in Harlan.
Harlan is not just suing Stephen Robertson, by the way. Harlan is suing AOL and Remark.
You can go after anybody you want, but legally, it's a very expensive process. And until tort reform comes through and loser pays, okay, fine. Harlan may take down one or two people, but once his short stories are being widely circulated and have made a Usenet newsgroup, they're out. You cannot shut that barn door. The horse is out. It's gone. You will never be able to put it back.
These are short stories that have been available in print format for 40 years.
Exactly.
So, I don't think that's the issue. I mean,
what I'm trying to get at is that, people get all hot under the collar about both sets of extreme views, and I don't agree with either of those. I don't agree with the publishing industry, which wants a completely, if you'll excuse the word, anal control of the material that they publish. You see the same thing going on in the music industry. You see the same thing going on with films. Let me ask you a question, Ginger. If your marketing people in your industry could, do you think they would implement a pay-per-view scheme and completely eliminate all other forms of reading?
No.
Because that would generate the maximum corporate profit.
Well, the problem, of course, about publishing online is figuring out a way to the income stream. Actually, I don't think the industry is fighting for its life. I don't think that
I didn't say it was. I said it thinks that it's fighting for its life.
No, I don't think that's true either. I think that the physical object is never going to vanish. I think that publishing online will be another format. There are formats now. There's hardcover, trade paperback, mass market, large print as Kuyo, and it will be another format. That's the way we've basically treated it. The Rocket Books. Tom Clancy's or another
format.
By
the way, Rocket Books is not an option. Rocket Books is an incredibly expensive system, and that's what.
Well, but it will get cheaper. Let me finish. If publishing is fighting for its life and the new technology is going to replace everything, then where are those 4.5 million copies of Harry Potter that are about to be shipped?
How many publishers publish Harry Potter?
Huh?
How many publishers are there now?
We publish Tom Clancy and Patricia
Cormo. How many publishers are there now? How many publishers were there 20 years ago?
Oh, that's because they bought each other. That's a whole separate thing.
An industry that's undergoing consolidation is basically in decline because it's facing a new threat. And what I'm getting at is that as a consumer, as somebody who buys books, I resent paying for the inefficiencies of the traditional publishing system. I resent the fact that you guys have to print millions because you've got such an inefficient distribution system that, bunches of books get mulched.
Why do you care as a consumer? That's our problem.
Because it puts my price up. I'm a smart consumer. I've seen the electronic world. I live e-commerce.
No,
I buy stuff online.
Price is going up because people will pay.
I've seen a different model. Okay? And what I'm getting at is, I have no choice if the traditional publishing industry had its way. I may not buy anything except a bound book. And that's a very expensive process for me to get the bits of the novel to read Anne's work. I don't want to see Anne not compensated for her work. Out of curiosity,
but isn't
Anne,
the
how
issue
much how much of a book that gets sold actually gets goes to the author? Of each dollar
it depends
of a book.
On whether what?
out of each dollar
she's
of
talking,
a book.
He wants to know your royalty.
Okay, for the books that Ace published, I got 8%, straight 8% on it. Yeah. And by the way, Voices of Chaos was just pirated the other day. yes, that's for my original books, and for my my tie-in books, I get 2%, but they do so many more of them, it actually usually works out to be more profitable. By the way, I want to let you know that Del Rey, the call has gone out in case, I'm sure you're monitoring this on all binaries, but the call has gone out for things like the Phantom Menace novelization and stuff like that. Yeah. Somebody's supposed to be scanning it, et cetera, and, you know, so just be aware.
Well, I think that publishers, all publishers are looking into and moving into some version of electronic publishing. That's not what we're talking about here, I mean, at all. We're talking about people taking books that already exist, that you can buy, and by and large, backlist books. So your argument about, you know, the inefficiencies of publishing, I mean, Dune has been around for a whole long time.
But the variety is very small. It's restricted to the bestsellers. My follow-on question to Anne is, congratulations, I'm glad to hear that, but what's it like negotiating?
Congratulations, you're glad to hear the Voices of Chaos pirated?
No, I'm glad to hear that you actually have a decent royalty percentage. But let me ask you as an author, what's it like negotiating with a publisher or having your agent negotiate with a publisher as a first-time author? Who has all the power in that negotiation? Unless you're a brand name,
If you have a decent agent, you have a certain amount of have the power to walk away.
But what does that have to do with anything? You'd still be negotiating for electronic rights.
What I'm arguing with you is that your industry represents an extreme power block in getting information out to people for sale. The pirates represent the other extreme. As a consumer, I don't like either extreme. I don't want to not pay for it. I don't want to be free. I want to reward Anne for her hard work and because she brings joy
into
my life.
And that's the issue. Publishers are examining ways to...
But I do not want to pay an industry that I consider, at the very least, oligopolistic.
Okay,
publishers are investigating ways to do electronic publishing.
And the only
Bain
reason
Books,
they're investigating
for example,
is
doing it. Yes.
No,
and
that's not true. That's not true at all.
Okay, I have something to say here from the point of view of the author, if you don't mind. Just one second here. I know that 8% does not sound like very much on a retail book, but that's 8% of the retail price when that book gets sold in the store. Okay, I also received an advance for that book, and that makes all the difference. When you e-publish something, the e-publishers promise authors huge royalties. I've seen them as high as, 20% on up to, 50 or 60%. However, 50% of Zippo is Zippo. And the truth is that not that many people are willing to pay to download e-books. I haven't yet found a single writer of fiction, who has earned a respectable amount of money that would be the equivalent of the average first-timer's advance off publication of an original ebook. Not yet, and I've been looking.
Let me just follow up on what you were saying. If it had not been for the fact that the Science Fiction Writers of America were monitoring this and it was brought to my attention because I'm a member of CIFWA and I get the electronic whatever, and then I went to my immediate boss and said, do you think I should let the legal department know about this? Our company wouldn't have had a clue about this. So we're hardly being forced into something by pirates. They wouldn't have known. I told them because CIFWA told me. So what investigations that we've been doing into electronic publishing have nothing to do with the pirates. The pirates are not costing us any kind of money. What it has to do with is the fact that this is a technology that is a wave of the future, and we're looking into it. It may be an only whatever industry, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not going to change. And believe me, maybe it's different at Random House. Believe me, no one in our company would have known anything about this were it not for the Science Fiction Writers of America.
The last
5 years worth of looking into various ways that we might be able to use this technology, part of which was doing the arrangement with Rocket Books, had nothing to do with pirates. Don't in any way, shape, or form overestimate the importance to the business of this. It's more
because the work belongs
to the authors. Don't you understand that? The stuff belongs to the authors. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the authors.
The authors.
And as long as we're in partnership with the authors, we have an obligation to stand up for it.
Exactly. The authors are far more worried about this than the publishers because it's their work on the line more so than the publishers. I mean, right now I'm in a deal or in the midst of a deal to bring back my Starbridge series with Misha Merlin, all right? However, if those books get loose on the net and are made widely available, I wouldn't be surprised if Steve Pagel would decide not to buy the rest of them. What's the point of him bringing them out in nice asset-free editions if they're completely available in a way that I will never make another dime off them on the web? Okay, it may well queer my deal, and I'm not very happy about it.
These folks up here aren't the bad guys. These are the folks we want to work with to make it profitable for them so we can actually get stuff online, download it if we need to or want to, and pay them for the works that they own. And I also want to say that the publishing industry treats their authors a hell of a lot better than the music industry does. I live in Nashville. There was a recent article here
That's a scary thought.
Hey, let me let you read this stuff after the panel is done. Courtney Love talking about how musicians are just getting screwed royally left and right. There's been some changes in recent laws, and now all the musicians working for the big labels, signed to the big labels, basically no longer own any of their music. They will never get the rights back to it under the current laws. They are working for hire.
Yeah, thus Michael Jackson owns the Beatles catalog, yeah.
The book publishers and the book authors are not the bad guys here. We want to try to resolve things, and I want to offer some solutions before the panel wraps up or fist fights break out. So,
well, authors and publishers really are more or less partners
in
this
problem. And keep in mind that authors nowadays are making a hell of a lot more money than they used to 50 years ago. There's a lot of wealth.
Not on short stories.
No, what I'm trying to say is I completely disagree with this gentleman back here and this gentleman over here. You're looking at it the wrong way. You're looking at the people that are posting the things to the net as some kind of saviors, some kind of patriots. They're breaking the law. It's black and white. They break the law. They deserve to be bumped off the net permanently.
Can I address that point, too, though? Don't you think that some of the intellectual property laws nowadays are a bit extreme? Because any work that's created now or, in fact, has been created within the last 20 years is still going to be under copyright long after everyone in this room is dead.
And
it won't go into the public domain.
But that's
the law. I work as a reference librarian.
But that's
I work as a writer. It's the law. I personally, if I write something that ends up on the best-selling list or becomes a classic, I want my estate for 70 to 100 years after I die to be able to pull in money and take care of my family.
It's the same as leaving your
house. The publishers. No, if 500,000 people break the law, 500,000 people have no morals and have no understanding of what is
right. If you work
a We're not discussing civil rights, sir. We're discussing black and white text, printing.
If you worked all your life,
there's no money involved. We're talking here in publishing.
If you worked all your life and you saved and you left it, you had an estate to leave to your heirs.
The copyright.
If you worked all your life and you had an estate to leave to your heirs, that was some sort of a trust fund. I think of the wealthy families in this country. Think of the Rockefellers. Think of the Kennedys. Is that wrong that they're leaving trusts sometimes in perpetuity to their kids? That's what an author's legal estate is. It is their trust fund for their heirs. Why is that any different than the Kennedys leaving a trust fund for their heirs? Why is that any different? Because
the current intellectual property laws are diametrically opposed to the intellectual property laws that were set up by the founding fathers of this country and the way they implemented copyright laws. Look at the quote by Thomas Jefferson on the back of that sheet, please.
Or the other question is, why is Kipling is an author?
Kipling is British.
Protecting an entire entire estate is not applied equally to one author, to that author. That's an author that I know, because half of his poems are under copyright, but the other half are not.
Because the law changed. I don't see your point.
No, the law was changed retroactive after his death. Part of his was an ex post facto law. Some of his stuff was already out of copyright, and the copyright law was changed, which put half of his works back under copyright. So what happened was that you have an author, but only half of them.
If you're not happy with the law, then you would do what anybody in this country has a right to do, which is to lobby to have the law changed back.
There you go.
Run a lot.
Two quick rules for announcements.
Hey, I have an idea for the microphone person here. Why don't you just kind of hang out in the front of the room, and people who want to talk and get this recorded, come up to the microphone and stand in line if you need to.
Just as a reminder,
and
we
we'll
are recording
like
this.
We'll put like maybe a 1 or 2 minute limit on the mic so we don't get into big rants and shouting back and forth.
The whole thing about the copyright law, I mean, as I said, when this whole started, let's wait 70 years and worry about it then. I mean, it's a spurious argument. I mean, it really is.
Well, if the laws have been changed, they might change another way that may not be in favor of the publishers
and
or the authors
years,
if enough people get
in
ticked
70
off.
Years, our monolithic dying industry might be dead, and it could be a totally spurious argument. As an author, Anne, how do you feel about the copyright law, the life of the author plus 70 years? By the way, I think for a long time in England it was the life of the author plus 50, right? I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't care if it was 50 years or 70 years after my death. However, I do like the idea that after I'm gone, my son will look forward to royalties from my books, and that my grandchildren, if I ever have any, will be able to look forward to royalties from my books if they still exist and people are still, reading them. I have to say that the part of the thing that bothers me the most is the idea that people feel they have some kind of intrinsic right to what I have done to take it away from me and make it, you know, if not theirs by putting their name on it, it just turn it into something that they have the right to say where it goes and who it goes to. That, to me, feels like, hot wiring my pickup truck and driving it away. You know, it's mine. I bought it. I paid for it. I paid cash for it. And, you know, I got the keys, and it's my right to do with as I wish. I pay too damn much. Social Security tax kills writers, okay? And self-employment tax is just awful. So I pay an awful lot in taxes. All writers do.
No, you don't know that either.
Well, it's very interesting argument, but I think that at least during my lifetime, I should have the right to say what happens to my books. And I'm not saying that because I'm doing a deal with Misha Merlin that I am precluding all chance of having legal e-editions of my books. MBID has made noises that they would be very interested in doing the Starbridge series. It's actually, become a far more popular series than I ever realized. It's one of the hot items on Amazon.com for people trying to get them. But, I'm saying that I don't like the idea of somebody else making the decisions to turn my books loose so that I will never see any more money for them.
So what you're saying is because Star Wars has become part of our culture, George Lucas no longer has any right to it? Is that what you're saying?
You have to recognize some of this stuff does become part of the popular culture, and we do have parody and fair use laws in this country.
That doesn't give anybody a right to make illegal copies of those movies and sell them on a street corner.
Well, they do it.
But the argument is that the copyright laws are excessive.
Yeah,
they're not excessive if you're on the side of the person who created it. I'm not talking the publisher. I'm not talking 20th Century Fox that distributed Star Wars. I'm talking the people that created it.
70 years after the death of the creator is excessive.
Forget about that.
Anne
is saying that she's alive now, and she wants it. Is those books are hers? They're the product of her imagination. They're the product of
Well, a little bit the product of your imagination, Ginger,
well,
since she was my editor.
I helped with that. She's alive now. Forget about 70 years. She's alive now.
Yes, and I think that a lot of the pirates, one of the reasons that we are not seeing this heavy influx of the Star Trek and Star Wars books, as popular as they are, is that a lot of the pirates do retain enough, you know, sense of what the law really is in order to not to want to tangle with Lucasfilm and Paramount. However, they know that Ann C. Crispin, A.C. Crispin, or, you know, Joe Blow author, you know, doesn't have a lot of resources, you know, to go after them. Lucasfilm and Paramount could squash them like bugs, and believe me, they will. They'll get you.
Well, the William Morris Agency
within U.S. jurisdiction.
So
let's
what
not
I'm
forget there are a lot of other places in the world that just don't
one
respect
of the
U.S. copyright
that,
law
that
at
is
all.
Giving us a major headache is Russia, and we're just about to shut down some FTPs over in Russia. But I cannot talk very much about the SFWA effort because. Just because you see it, you don't see it, doesn't mean it ain't there. So if I were a pirate, I would watch it.
He wants to ask a question. He's standing there patiently.
Really simple question. If as a publisher and author, how do you feel about, you know, if I own a book and I've made an electronic copy for myself, not for distribution? I own the book. I bought the book, and.
You want to take it in your Rocket ebook to read on vacation?
Something like a Palm Pilot, not something for distribution. I'm not talking distribution or anything.
I don't care about that. As far as I'm concerned,
as
if you bought the book
like
and you want to.
I think
you're nuts, but.
If you wanted to sit there and
scan in my book and never give it away to anybody else, I don't care about that.
Okay, thank
Just
you.
Just like I don't care
okay.
about a. Yes, it is technically
you,
illegal,
why
but it's distribution.
I wanted the feelings of that from. Like I said, not talking distribution. I just wanted the feelings from an author. You know, because I love
that doesn't bother me any more than the idea
that
the library loans my books.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
It's illegal to copy a book as another book. So if it's written on paper, you can't copy it on paper. But if it's on paper and you want to copy it to some type of electronic form as a backup, then you can do that.
You can make cassette
software.
Copies of your albums for your personal
use. I don't think that interpretation is the correct one. I wish Sefwa's lawyer was here, but I believe she would agree with me.
I think you're allowed to make cassette copies of your albums or CDs.
Yeah, I think if you wanted to sit there and read my book aloud to make an audio tape for yourself to listen to on a long drive across the country, as long as you didn't distribute it, I wouldn't care.
Two questions, and I was curious. Given that mp3lit.com and Seeing Eye Theater, does traditional publishing and web publishing, do you feel a slight pinch in traditional publishing circles or... You know, like you said, in the next 7 to 10 years, things could change.
Because of web publishing?
I was just wondering, do you feel like the competition, do you feel, you know, there's a difference? Are you
I don't see the competition at all. In fact, right. I see it probably to help to grow traditional publishing.
Okay.
The fact is that if I'm promoting either a new writer or an established series like Terry Brooks, who's been writing the same series for 22 years, if there's a way to electronically deliver hundreds and thousands of his books out there, you probably help his paper book sales.
Yeah,
that's my belief.
Okay, now I was just curious about that. Sort
a way
of
to electronically deliver them and then have people pay for.
Oh,
them.
I know, probably. I know people like traditional illegal web publishing. That's all I'm talking
them,
about.
Frankly,
you can do excerpts and stuff.
Well, the truth is, let's say you know. Again, I'm publishing a new author tomorrow. The author is unknown. It's not famous. It's not Stephen King. And the book is not going to be a bestseller, even though the book is very good. If I have my way, actually, I think the best way to promote that new book may be giving away 100,000 free copies. If the book is really good, then you have 100,000 people read it because they got it for free. They love the book. Everyone tells 5 friends. Plus, they go out and buy a paper book anyway because book fans or book collectors. Mm-hmm. hey, I have just made a new author successful. Mm-hmm. That may not be practical every single time, but it's just one option. This new way of doing things opens up.
How about a chapter
if you're
or two?
Serious about that, I'll have my agent send you my next proposal.
My boss never let me do it,
books?
That's my idea.
How about like the first chapter or two of an author's book have like sampler packs available for download?
People do that all the time. There isn't a publisher who doesn't have a website that doesn't do excerpts, which is usually the first couple chapters.
Sometimes they even do little chapbooks, you know, with a couple of chapters in them and hand them out at cons. I've seen that too.
Yeah, but you're talking about actual hard copy publishing. I'm saying that our website, you know, has an excerpt every month from a featured book of the month.
Sure. I just want to see what difference between the traditional and the legal web publishing.
I think
Kuyo
is optimistic. Right. If he thinks 100,000 people if he thinks 100,000 people would actually download a brand new author. That's my problem.
But you don't have to do that. For example, what you can do, if you make a deal, whether with Peanut Press, either with Palm or Handspring, or you go make a deal with Hewlett Packard or Compaq, working with Microsoft Reader, you make some kind of a bundle deal. So, for example, we just made a deal with, I think, with Compaq and Microsoft Reader that the next 100,000 people who purchases a handheld PC from Compaq is going to get a free copy of Timeline by Michael Crichton on Microsoft Reader. Mm-hmm. That's a promotion which Microsoft paid us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They paid money per book for 100,000 copies to do that.
Can you only read that on the Windows platform, though?
You can only read it on the Windows CE on the Microsoft Reader. And
a very dangerous move.
It's a very dangerous move, and that was an exclusive deal to Microsoft. But they gave us gobbles of money.
Oh, yeah. Money
so,
talks.
Hey, why not?
Incidentally, everybody's been talking a little bit about Stephen King's success with riding the bullet. I would like to remind you folks that if you aren't aware of it, that Stephen King did not actually sell 450,000 copies of the Riding the Bullet in download form. What they did was Amazon and Barnes & Noble and a couple of other places offered it for free for quite a little while, and people could get it, and there were 450,000 hits. Mm-hmm. However, you know... the actual paid for downloads was a far, far smaller number in the tens of thousands as opposed to the hundreds of thousands. So even Stephen King hasn't proved that 450,000 people will pay for an e-publication.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble paid. So Steve got his money. I'm not worried.
Next questions?
Oh, yeah, this is part two.
We're kind of running out of time.
Yeah, right. My other question is, given answer to comments about the pirate set and what you said earlier about, you know, they didn't want to be here, blah, blah, blah. What is, like, the age range and education of their, you know, the pirates, general?
My guess, based on a lot of years spent BBSing and IRC channels, is I'm not a psychologist, but frankly, some of the pirates seem to be the same type of power-tripping teenagers in my BBS years who simply wanted to set up a place where they could lord it over other people. Nowadays, you've got that same mentality in a lot of the IRC channels where, you know, hey, I'm top dog around here and I'm going to kick you around just because I can. The attitude that I saw expressed by a lot of the, frankly, asshole pirates, the ones who were going, yeah, I don't care if Roger Zelazny's dead and I'm hurting his widow and his kids, I'm going to post all of his books online.
I'm glad that old man is dead. We're glad he's dead. Piss on his grave.
Yeah, that was a quote. I mean, that pissed me off. And you know, what kind of mindset is coming from that? This has got to be someone that even us computer geeks look down on, who really, really never gets out, has no social life and no social skills. Yeah, granted, I'm glad someone else went to the trouble of OCRing the stuff, because I already have everything Zelazny has ever printed, usually in several different copies, because I like collecting for covers too. But it's a hell of a lot easier for me to load up a couple hundred books on my laptop, because I travel all the time, and read them that way than carry a couple hundred paperback books with me constantly. And I also like keeping my books nice and not beat up and getting travel abused.
You don't want to do any of that unsightly reading of them.
I love reading, but seriously,
when I buy books, I like buying hardbacks too, because the books that I really enjoy, I mean, they really affect my life, and I want my kids someday, should I ever be lucky enough to reproduce, to have access to this stuff.
Whoa.
Say, look, this was cool stuff. Read it, kid. Enjoy. Let's have something to talk about. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
One of the things I've observed in seeing, they asked about the profile of the pirates, is apparently in some cases, some pirate cases, especially with a lot of the younger ones, the teenagers and early 20s and stuff, they don't read the books.
They're archiving.
It is like, you know, it's like scalps or trophies.
Okay.
Counting coup on the publishing industry and the authors and stuff like that. They have these stuffs the way they would have trading cards. I'll trade you 3 Zelaznys for 1 Heinlein.
Let me throw the term
they don't
out
read
here
them.
In hacker culture. We call these people leeches. They will download... Basically, they spend their lives trying to download the internet, very carefully categorize it, burn it to CD, file it away, and that's it. They never listen to their MP3s. They don't run the pirated software they download. Apparently, they don't read the books. These people are a waste of bandwidth.
And I think that comparing them to the people that sat in Selma is a bit insulting, frankly.
Truly, some of them, you know, they're not readers, and yet you can tell they're not readers. Anybody who could say who was Roger Zelazny, you know, and piss on his grave. I mean, these people are just like.
Please
don't
say that. That still makes me grit my teeth.
Yeah, it upset me too. Roger was a friend
of
mine.
We are almost out of time, kid.
Okay.
More of a comment. I've got a kind of a problem with some of the copyright laws. It seems like a lot of these big corporations continue to extend out the copyright laws. I realize that you have a work that you're proud of, that you'd like to keep control out of and everything else. But I think 70 or 50 years after your death is fine.
Sure.
It should stop
I'll
after that. Certain time it should go back out to the public domain.
It does.
But a lot of these corporations are not doing that. Corporations as Disney and a lot of the rest of them are perpetuating it that further and further out.
Yeah, every time Mickey Mouse his image gets ready to go into public domain, the lawsuit extends.
But that's not the same thing as
books.
That's not the same thing as books.
As any of that copyright, the same laws apply. Same thing with H.P. Lovecraft. What about Shakespeare? What if that family still had a controlling interest? We want to keep this in the public. You know, we've had all
H.P. Lovecraft is in the public domain, I think.
I realize Shakespeare's
not. No, a lot of his stuff is
not. Something
no.
Very
in fact, recently some of his stuff...
Lovecraft is not, but
some of Lovecraft stuff was in public domain, and then it went back into copyright when they extended the laws again.
Wow. Why do you care if you can buy H.P. Lovecraft or if you can buy Kipling? Why do you care? Explain
sooner or later
to me.
The songs and everything else, like the national anthem or some of the basic.
Why do you care?
Be able to download the classics from Project.
Can I come in on
you
this
can
a little
go,
bit?
All
right. When this stuff gets widespread enough and becomes classics, part of our society, part of our culture, shouldn't we be able to? I don't mean the stuff that's being written now, but stuff that's 100 years old, Poe and some of the earliest Lovecraft stuff. But he wouldn't be if today's copyright laws were applied to his work. But shouldn't we at some point be able to comment on the stuff that's come into our society and been so widespread and become so commonly referenced without fear of being sued? I mean, look at here's an analogy. I'm not saying this very well, but Star Trek, everybody knows what Star Trek is. Everybody on the planet. I mean, God bless Gene Roddenberry. However, people who are, you know, the hardcore Trekkies who are really into Star Trek, a lot of them were threatened with lawsuits and had to take their fan websites down, which in many cases, some of the fan websites were better than a lot of the print content available out there. Nothing personal. And they were told, if you don't take this stuff down and offline, we realize that you've spent hundreds or sometimes thousands of hours on this stuff, and you're not directly competing with anything that's out there. But Paramount has decided we want to own everything. We want to enforce our copyright and make sure it's not diluted in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So take it offline, or we sick the lawyers on you.
70 years after it, they're not going to want to give up their money. Paramount and the rest of them, we've got an institution now. We want
to
keep on.
Talking to the mic.
It's not really about the creativeness of the author. It's called the cash cow. Okay, well, I'm part of the Shakespeare family. I abhorrently object to you referencing to this in your books. I think I should receive the money.
In point of fact, if part of the Shakespeare party was still around and they felt that way, I would think that was perfectly within
but
their rights
of years
to
afterwards,
feel that. But fine with me.
A lot of the things have progressed off. Where does that leave
our common culture and heritage if it's owned and controlled by large corporations?
All it means is you have to pay them a couple cents, for God's sakes. I mean, geez.
But books aren't a couple of cents anymore, and certainly DVDs and CDs aren't.
The percentage of anything that would go to the copyright holder,
We're not paying just a percentage of the copyright holder. We're also paying for the distributors, the publishers, the brick-and-mortar stores.
Well, no, you start out talking about stuff that's done online. Look, Star Trek is an ongoing proposition. It's not gone, and it's 70 years from now. If Paramount wants to keep control of the characters of Kirk and Spock and so on and so forth, as long as Disney does of Mickey Mouse, as long as it's an ongoing proposition, I think that's their right. But I also don't think that's what we're talking about here. What we were talking about to begin with was the fact that Anne is being stolen from. She's alive. People were stealing from her. She's alive. That is what I came to talk about in this panel, not about the length of the copyright law. I don't know who lobbied in Washington to get that law changed, because believe me, most publishers I know don't have any presence in Washington.
I don't think we're arguing that
that was what I thought this panel was about.
But let's not talk about
the people
Disney's
who were alive, not about Walt Disney. Not
let me talk
about
something that's completely
Lucas.
Unrelated.
Now for something completely different.
Something completely that doesn't have copyright in it at all. It's talking about.
That's a copyrighted phrase.
We'll delete that from the recording.
I'm beginning to think maybe we do have some pirates in here.
This is about sort of brick and mortar stores and Barnes and Nobles and stuff like that. I don't know much about the online bookstores. I don't really visit them that much. I guess I don't know what has happened to me. I guess, but okay, I know an author who basically gave up because she was a midlister, and these big Barnes and Noble types. I mean, these are who you actually buy from. You don't buy from the publisher. You buy from, you know, the bookstore.
Yeah,
and and Barnes and Noble's kind of tried to get rid of a lot of them. Maybe they're midlisters, and my author friend had to give up because Barnes and Noble was unable to do that. But I'm thinking about this new form of distribution would be very nice for people who don't have such a massive audience that the bookstores will sell them.
Providing people are willing to pay. And so far that has not been proven.
It's great. So, you know, they can get money for it.
Nobody's disagreeing about that.
I think everyone in the room here agrees pretty much, and if you disagree, raise your hand, that authors should be paid for their works. Does everyone agree with that? Are we all on the same playing field? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But
and I said that those options will sometimes
Mike person talking to the mic.
I'm sorry.
But it's what have you done as far as electronic distribution, the publishers, and have you been involved in thinking about distributing your book electronically? Or,
well, I just said that expressed interest in. And my deal with Misha Merlin would not preclude that, and I wouldn't mind having a legal form of it. However, my experience on Alt Binary's ebook has, rather than made me eager to have my books out there in electronic form, it has made me extremely chary of that, because as soon as a legal version is available, it will get pirated, and then somebody's going to take it over to Alt Binary's or Remark.
That's the problem.
And it's going to be loose.
See that? Don't
it will
see
be
that's
loose.
Problem?
I know that's a problem.
It's like taking the cat and tossing it into the woods. Will you see it again? Probably not. If it's a house cat, anyway. Yes.
The other side of our company, in point of fact.
Oh, no. The mic's got to go in order, please.
He's next. Sorry.
No, okay. I want to finish answering his question. The other side, I'm Penguin Putnam. The Penguin side of our company has published a book online. I believe it was a thriller. I don't know. It wasn't by a name author. I don't know how well it did. They did publish a book online. We made the deal with Rocket Books. We're moving in that direction. But the problem is, a publisher going into that in a major way has to be assured that there's going to be some kind of protection, because that's to protect us and it's to protect the author. If you're publishing online, people broke the encryption on Riding the Bullet with no trouble whatsoever.
But if it's not costing you money, why don't you protect it?
if you start publishing front list books online,
yet.
It could cost you money.
What is a front list book? Pardon my ignorance. Okay, thank you.
If you start publishing your front list online, it could cost you money.
Can we all agree pretty much that publishing or pirating books,
you're
rather, as soon as they come out, is wrong?
That's what you're saying. You're saying. You're saying we should do it and not care because information should be free. That's what you're saying.
Okay.
Next question.
Yeah, next question, please.
We'll run out of time. In the interest of it, I think the publishers ought to get paid for everything they've done, the authors certainly, and the authors basically have come up with a really good idea and have created an experience through writing this down that people can enjoy and hopefully for a long time to come. The concept that comes out of this is kind of the same direction that the little dream Netscape came up with and made a lot of money with and then suffered for. What I think people want to see happen is that general direction. Maybe you would lose money if everyone were to copy your works, but I wonder if I saw something for the first time on this eBooks binaries, which I haven't been to, I think I would be twice as likely, if I liked it, to go and buy that book.
That's a lot of pirates say that. I will go and read the first couple of chapters online and decide if I want it, and then I will go ahead and go to the bookstore and buy it if it's available.
Have there been any test markets to see if that really happened?
And this is going to benefit you. The problem, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right, but I have to say that, a lot of the attitude I've seen scares me. And yes, I feel threatened, and yes, I feel worried because, how do I have but their word for it. One of our members...
Can I give you an example?
The chair of GriefCom put a short story of his up on as shareware just to see and ask people to send money to PayPal as an experiment. I think he got a whopping... $12 or something like that for this story, which is not bad, but if he'd sold it as a reprint, he would have gotten more than that, see? And now the story, since it's widely available, anybody can get it, it's doubtful anybody would now buy it as a reprint, even if they'd been considering it. So every time something gets loose, so to speak, it lessens the value. And I haven't seen any evidence yet that people are really raring to pay fair prices for downloads. And I'm talking about, $2 or $3 per book or, $6 per book or the equivalent of a paperback even. I haven't seen any evidence that people are willing to pay. My evidence has been to the contrary, which is that people want it for free and they feel they have a right to it, no matter who owns it.
Let me put my two bits on this. This is off on a tangent a little bit. I DJ up in Nashville as well. I download a hell of a lot of MP3s. There's been a lot of music I've rushed out and bought after downloading a couple MP3s and going, wow, this is really cool stuff. The ebook stuff, I can't really comment on it that much. The stuff that I've downloaded is mainly things I already own, and as I said, I put on my laptop and I enjoy reading over and over again. However, I didn't realize that the publishers were putting chapters of upcoming and forthcoming releases, first chapter or two of books online for free, and I'm definitely going to be checking that out. And I can almost guarantee
for quite a while.
All right, well, like I said, I haven't been looking for books or text or anything online. Oops, but I can pretty much guarantee that I will download and read interesting new books and go out and buy the paperback version based on what I've read online.
Yeah, I know that with computer games, I literally won't go out and buy one straight from the store because all too often they crash and burn. So I'm not going to go spend $60 on something that will be unplayable the minute I get it home. I'll let somebody I know, be on the bleeding edge, and then after I've seen it'll work, I'll go out and buy it.
Yeah, but with books,
you have bookstores,
you can walk to the bookstore,
you can open them
up and look at them and read a chapter or two standing there by the shelf. You can even borrow it from the library and then decide to acquire it if you want it for your own library.
Books are a different thing. But I think we've seen a business model that will probably work. The movie industry was really annoyed when video cassette recorders came out. And what they found out is that most people won't take the time and the trouble to pirate stuff, to make their own video cassettes and everything else, if there's a rationally priced way for them to go out and buy it in the store. If you guys wanted to establish a subscription service to where I spend, say, $20 a month.
About like what Bain is doing.
Yeah, $20 a month for basic cable to where I can get online and, you know, get a book. I'll go for it. I get cable now that I don't watch half the movies I'm subscribed for. I don't watch 10% of them, but I'm willing to pay that fee every month simply to have the opportunity to do it when I get a chance.
But we are moving in that direction, but it's not going to replace.
Then you need to talk. You need to shoot somebody in the marketing department because people
we
aren't generally aware
that.
Of it.
I said moving in that direction, and I would also say Bain has been doing it. You didn't know that Bain was doing this?
No,
not in the least.
Well, go to their website.
He didn't
even know that publishers had websites. That's our fault?
Oh, I know.
I mean, you guys
are
supposed to be.
Talk to your marketing folks. We deal with the bookstores when we buy this stuff, not the publishers.
Think about typing in www.penguinputnam.com and seeing what came up.
And the solution for the midlist.
Right here. Let's try it out.
And the solution for the midlist people who are disappearing that the guy mentioned earlier is something called Lightning Press, where they basically.
Print on demand.
Yeah, you order the book, they print you one copy and send it to you.
Print on demand is very much the
iUniverse, Ex Libris, et cetera. And yes, and those of you who are considering publishing with either Ex Libris or iUniverse might want to, especially iUniverse, might want to hang on a little while. SFWA is helping them to improve their extremely crummy contracts.
So let me get this straight. People have been able to find Alt Binary's ebook where. Where illegal things are, but you haven't been able to do the research to discover that almost every publisher that I can think of has a website where free excerpts of the books are to sample. Is that's what you're basically all saying? Well,
wacky but true for me. I guess I wasn't looking in the right place.
I mean, it's there, guys. I mean, it's
my assumption was that since the stuff was being printed online, it wasn't available in any other format.
This is just excerpts, and it's front list. It's not.
Okay, one minute.
Excuse me, can I have the last word here? And it is going to be Harlan Ellison's, because Harlan has spearheaded the effort here, and I feel that Harlan, because he put his money where his mouth is, deserves the last word in this panel. Harlan said, "These people have been told that it's okay for them to steal." He says, "I'm going to take them down because the old Wild West is finished. We're not going to put up with this crap anymore." Knowing Harlan, it was probably a stronger word than that. But my work is my work. It is my property. I'm a writer. All I have to support me in my declining old age. Harlan is about as declining and doesn't seem old, actually, is the work I have written. It cannot be bandied about and passed around on the internet just because some pissant thinks he has a right to it. I'm not trying to stifle technology. I'm absolutely delighted to have my work up there, and he does have it up on some electronic sites, as long as whoever takes it down pays me. Thank you.
Yay, Harlan.